And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
Well, if you are new to this series, we have been studying for the last few weeks the same story of Jesus and Peter walking on water for Matthew's gospel. And we're doing this on the basis of John Ortberg's book, In Order to Walk on the Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And so our hope is that by studying the same passage over and over again, each week we'll be able to focus on a different aspect of the story and that the Lord will really speak to us through his word. And so this week, we're talking about the fact that Peter got out of the boat and that Peter walked on water. And so that's what we're going to focus on today, our first step of faith. That's what today's focus is on. My 2-year-old daughter, Ruthie, just had swim lessons a few weeks ago. And some of y'all may have heard me complain about it because I had to get in the water with her and it was 60 degrees outside. And the pool was heated, but I still wasn't very happy about it. And so the first day we get into the water, me and Ruthie, and Ruthie just starts screaming, and then another baby started screaming, and then another baby started screaming, and I just looked at the teacher and was like, sorry, this is new to us. And so sweet Ruthie had a week of ups and downs in swim class. But at the end of every class, we did something fun. The kids got to get out and jump into the pool. Well, Ruthie, that first day, was not going to do that. So I was standing back and joining the chorus of all the high-pitched mom voices. Come here, Ruthie, you can do it. She absolutely refused to jump off. And so the teacher swam up, and she said, you know, it's her first day. This is pretty common. They don't have to do a big leap of faith on the first day. You can just hold her hand and have her step off the ledge. And so that's exactly what I did. And sure enough, by the end of the week, she was jumping in totally by herself, a little recklessly, perhaps. But that is what we're talking about today, just that first step of faith. Y'all have heard the term leap of faith before, right? We use it all the time in Christian settings. But that's not what our passage is about. Peter, luckily, did not leap out of the boat. He may have crawled out rather timidly. It was just a first step. So that's what I want us to focus on, just that first step. Because I think when we talk about this story, we like to kind of knock on Peter a little bit. You know, he's the guy that always dives in head first, that always gets ahead of himself, right? He cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that arrested Jesus, and Jesus had to heal him and say, be chill, Peter. And Peter also is the one that We've been talking about this in our young adult Sunday school class. When Peter sees the resurrected Lord on the shore, he jumps out of the boat and swims to Jesus, even though I'm pretty sure it would have been faster to just wait in the boat. I don't know. And that is who Peter is. But we also know that Peter's the one who correctly identifies who Jesus is, right? When Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter's the one that says, you're our Savior. You're the chosen one. You're the one that's going to come and save us. And so I think that we get ahead of ourselves in the story and we focus on the fact that Peter sinks. And that's what Court's going to talk about next week. But go easy on our guy Peter, because I think all of us would sink when we lose sight of our Lord and look at the waves and the winds. And so today I want us to talk about how miraculous it is that Peter did get out of the boat and Peter did walk on water, and he did so because of his faith in Jesus Christ. So a little later in our service, we're not going to be using the words of the Apostles' Creed to affirm our faith. We're going to be using words from the Heidelberg Catechism, which is one of our many Presbyterian confessions of faith. And this catechism asks questions and gives answers to a lot of the basic ideas of Christianity and helps us frame them in really easy little tangible ways. And so the question we'll be answering today is, what is true faith? And the Heidelberg Catechism tells us true faith is both knowledge and trust. It's both knowledge and trust. Both of those things are what gets Peter out of the boat. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. the knowledge and the trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ that grounds our faith and holds us up. And so first, let's talk about the knowledge. What do I mean by knowledge? Peter, we see this so clearly, he knew that if it really was Jesus, right? He says, Lord, if it is you, call me and I will come to the water. Command me and I will come to the water. Peter had a knowledge in who Jesus was and what Jesus was capable of doing. And Peter knew that if this same voice that is the word of God that spoke at creation, if this same voice commands me, then I will come onto the water. I've heard several scholars say that on the first day of creation, if God had said, let there be, then everything would have just popped up. Instead, God had to rein it in by saying, let there be light. The voice of our Lord is one that isn't the same as our own voice. The voice of the Lord has creation power, has this authority. And that's the voice that Peter knew would be able to call him onto the water. And so why do we need knowledge? Why is knowledge an important aspect of our faith? You know, looking out at so many of you, I know what we're going through. And guys, there are so many times where we have no idea what God is up to in our own lives or in the lives of people we love. It feels like God is asking us to take a leap of faith, just blindly trust me, just go with it. And yes, that is sometimes true where we really don't know what God is doing. But God promises in God's word that we don't have to do this with blind faith. If y'all were a part of our women's Bible study recently, we studied 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul tells us in that chapter of 1 Corinthians that the resurrection is an actual event in history that happened. And that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the one thing of certainty that we have to place our hope in as Christians. Paul talks about how there were eyewitnesses, how there was evidence to the fact that Jesus' body was buried in the ground, but began to breathe again, and his heart began to beat again. And so because this actual event happened, our trust is not blind. We are putting our trust, our knowledge is in a God who is one in the business of resurrection. Our God is in the resurrection business and does this over and over again. And so our trust is not blind. Even when we can't see what we're doing, we have a knowledge in the Lord that has been raised from the dead. And the Lord does not want us to feel like we are just grasping at air, but to root ourselves in this truth, in this knowledge. And so if you're out there and you are struggling to know who God is, what God's character is like, if you're struggling to know the history and the facts of what God has done in human history and even in your own lives, then I encourage you to go back and look at the scriptures, God's written word. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that the same Holy Spirit that inspired the words, God made this word breathed out for us through human hands. And now that same Spirit lives inside of our hearts if we're in Jesus and helps illuminate these words off the page. And y'all, what I'm about to say, I really believe in the history of the church, the last 2,000 years, but even beyond that, before Jesus, the history of God's people getting things wrong always comes down to an abandonment of Scripture. Or perhaps not abandonment, but a decision to trust our own understanding rather than God's word. And on the other side of that, I would say, and I think this is true, every revival, every revitalization, every reformation of the church that has ever taken place begins with a rediscovery of God's word, a recommitment to the scriptures as authoritative. We can see that throughout history, and we can see that in several different accounts of revivals in the Bible. It always begins with a rediscovery, a recommitment to God's word, God's truth through God's word. If you've been around the Presbyterian Church a while, you know we're Reformed. We love to throw that word around. And we love this phrase. We say we're Reformed, always reforming. But we forget that the other part of that phrase, the original Latin that comes from the Reformation, was Reformed, always reforming in accordance with the Word of God. And so the Word of God, y'all, is the root that we have of our faith. It's where we put down our roots. It's where we undergird our knowledge of who God is, what God has done. And it's only from there that we can have true faith. It's not an ignorant faith. It's one that is knowledgeable, one that is rooted in truth. But it's not enough to just have knowledge. We have to also demonstrate our knowledge. You know, if you came in today and you saw the pew and you were deciding where to sit, you would have thought, not even consciously, but I believe that this chair will up, or this pew will uphold my weight. You decided to sit in it based on that fact. But until you sit in it, right, you're not demonstrating a trust in the fact that this pew is going to uphold your weight. So what I'm saying is we do that in the church, right? We say all the time, oh, I believe this, I know this, I know this is true. And yet, until we demonstrate by faith that we believe it's true, until we put our money where our mouth is, we're not actually believing. We're not demonstrating that trust. And it's the Holy Spirit that has to come to us and give us that trust to demonstrate it's not just the knowledge. It's the trust also. It's both of them together. Before we talk about Peter, I want to talk about the story of Joshua that Irv read for us. It's so great. Joshua 3, I think it's on 242 in your Old Testament. If you want to flip open real quick, go for it. Joshua is the new leader of the Israelite people. So we've had Moses. Moses has led them out of Egypt through the desert, and Moses has died. And Joshua is the new leader that God has appointed. So right off at the beginning of chapter 3, God tells Joshua, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. And so what we see in chapter 3 is this pivotal moment in Israel's history, new leadership. And what we've got is new leadership, but also a new people, right? It's been 40 years. And so at this crossroads of the Israelites' history, God says, I will be with Joshua just like I was with Moses, and I'm going to demonstrate that. And so when you hear, just like I was with Moses, you should think back to all the miraculous and wonderful things that God did through Moses. The 10 plagues, the parting of the sea, the provision of food, all of this power that the Lord demonstrated, it's part of this history. Part of the knowledge, right? And so, God says, I will be with you. And now this people standing on the banks of the Jordan, they have to decide, okay, are we going to look back and focus only on Moses, or are we going to trust that this same God has not changed and is with us now? And so here's the miracle, the first miracle, the inaugural miracle that God decides to demonstrate his character and his nature. Something so similar to the parting of the Red Sea, and yet so different. And so God says, here's the first step of faith that I'm asking of you. If you look in the text, it tells us that the river was high because it was flood season. So this is not just like the Cahaba River, right? It's probably a little bit bigger and a little bit more flooded. And honestly, I wouldn't even want to go in the Cahaba if it were flooded. So God says it will be the leaders of this community who will take the first step. With Moses, God parted the Red Sea before anybody took a step, but now God is saying, I want the leaders to take the first step into the waters. And we have to ask, what other thing could possibly make them walk through water other than the word of God commanding them to do it. And so the leaders do it. They take the first step, and the people walk across on dry land. And we should definitely be thinking, okay, this same God who was at work parting the Red Sea is still at work. And this is a trustworthy God. This is the event that will define this faith community's new chapter. And we see something similar with Peter. Peter saw his friend, his really good friend, doing something crazy and bending the laws of physics. And it wasn't trust in the surface tension of the water that put Peter out there. It wasn't trust in water's nature. I think that would be a misplaced trust. Peter's trust was in the one who made water, was in the one whose power was over all of creation. That's who Peter puts his trust into when he steps out of the boat. You know, Peter really knew Jesus and had seen miraculous signs. There was a knowledge and a trustworthiness. He knew that the same voice that told eyes to open and lepers to leap and be cleansed, the one that told demons to be cast out, that same voice now calls to Peter on the water. And so the question for all of us today is, how is God calling us to get out of the boat? Both individually and then also as a worship community, a community of faith believers. And I'm not going to try and give any ideas because I think the Spirit will put things on our hearts in different ways. But I do want to give just a couple of tips for how to discern. Is this the Lord's voice or is this just me giving it my best shot? And it goes back to what we've talked about. The first thing is to have a knowledge of the Scripture, because the Lord will never, ever tell us to do something that is contrary to the word that he has already given us in the Scripture. And so to have a knowledge of the Scripture, it's not just about knowing things, but it's about knowing a person, Jesus Christ. The way we grow in an intimate relationship with Jesus is to know him through his word. And so it's not enough to know him, though. It's also something that we have to do is to place our trust in the Holy Spirit's guidance. This is really hard, and you have to ask, how do I do that? Well, the Lord gives us each other as other believers in a community to read our Bibles together, to pray together, to discern, to go to one another and say, hey, you know me pretty well. Do you think this is something the Lord might be calling me to do? That's something that the Lord invites us into, is deeper community, not only with himself, but with each other. And so in community, we discern together and we ask the Lord for his will. And I want to encourage y'all too. I know it feels a little daunting, like, oh, it's this big thing that we've got to figure out. But I want to share and celebrate just some ways that I've had the privilege of a pastor seeing our community step into faith. There is a man here who has recently retired, and I have seen him step into faith because he has sought out church leadership to ask, how can I use my gifts in this season of retirement to glorify God? It's just a small step of faith. I've also known several of you who have rearranged your entire life to care for aging parents, to care for people in your lives that need you to care for them, and it's cost you something. All of that is just a way of being faithful in small ways. Sometimes it's really life-giving and joyful, and sometimes it's really not. But it's an obedience to God's word that tells us to love one another. It's an example of a small step of faith. Or even, and I experienced this one this morning, wrestling children into church clothes to get them out the door on Sunday morning. All of these things are just small steps of faith that we wouldn't say, like, oh, this is a step of faith I'm taking. But the Lord is so gracious to us that it's in these small moments of faithfulness that he really begins to work in us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I want to end by encouraging y'all to think about what Jesus' face must have looked like when Peter first said, command me to come out on the water. Y'all, I really believe that Jesus was thrilled that one of his disciples asked this of him. Because that's what he does for us today. He encourages us to ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Jesus loves to see our acts of faithfulness because it glorifies him and it allows him to just work in our lives in bigger ways than we ever could have imagined. And so we're about to sing a song that talks about a love that won't let us go. So let's put our everything we know, our knowledge of God and our trust of God into this as we sing about our faith together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of your presence in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would teach us how to be faithful. Teach each of us in this room, how are you calling us into steps of faith that you will multiply and magnify in order to bring glory to your name and healing to our community. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.